And welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
On FBI Radio 94.5 FM, it's your boys, Jordan Shanks.
You lost your voice?
No, Jordan Shanks.
Sorry, Jordan here. Just worried about you.
Tom Montefiore.
Hello.
And hello, I'm Robbie Armfield, and we've got some great chat, great tunes coming up. First up, last week we asked about a mouse. We want a mouse for FBI Radio, and people were naming in their names with the texting in. Jordan.
And it was a great one. King of Derry, something along the lines of that. Something to do with cigarettes. So we won't be looking that up. We'll just come along with a name that fits generally that description. In the meantime, however, is a mouse in the house?
It the could answer, be.
Yeah, we don't know, because they might have a mice infestation at FBI, and I pray to God that they would tell the staff that, but that we don't know for a fact. However, we do have an exciting development in getting a pet mouse for FBI. Hmm. The music director said it was okay.
Yep, Mr. Stephen Goodhue, text in next show after us.
Yes.
Berate him. Send him as many texts as you can. We want a mouse. He said we can have one.
Yes.
He was admittedly very rushed.
Probably to put on his office desk door, just instead of director of music and animals.
Yeah, mouse
much
owner.
Much like a owner of the zoo.
So, yeah, he was about a minute away from starting his show, wasn't really listening to us, and we're like, oh, Stephen, can we please have a mouse? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure.
We'll take it.
We got
it.
That's
a yes. So, again, we will ask again, if you've got cages, if you've got any know-how, text in the numbers 0409945945.
Yes, we've got the okay. We just don't have anything else at this point, including the mouse, and we don't want to pay the $2.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I did spend $20 over the weekend because, in standing in the post office, I realised, is FBI really mature enough to handle a mouse? It's a living thing that Tom once told me cried. I don't know if that's true or not,
but
my source is the guy sitting next to me, just dressed in a black shirt.
Yeah, they mourn for their loved ones and sing love songs.
Yes.
Anyway, what
truly
did you buy?
Anyway, so they could actually be smarter than dogs. It's a classic American parrot trick. To start a child with a goldfish, and if they're not able to keep the goldfish alive, then they say, well, how can we trust you with a dog?
Mm.
We've got to put some parenting on ourselves. We're in that awkward stage transition. We are the definition of men children. It's time to become men.
So we need to work our way up to the mouse.
That's what I'm saying. But because a mouse is smaller than a dog, you can't use fish. You're going to have to use fish food. Gentlemen, I present to you Aqua Dragons.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Are Aqua Dragons just sea monkeys?
Yes. A cheap Australia Post knockoff.
Oh,
$20. Great, right. Get them while they're hot.
I think this is the most preparation you've ever put into this show.
Jordan, well done. A big well done for this. This is Aqua Dragons on
He's
the radio.
He's holding it triumphantly like a trophy.
They say they can breed. Do you remember looking after
sea monkeys.
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. It's sea monkeys.
Mm.
They all died after 2 months, didn't they?
Oh, well, you didn't look after them well enough. You weren't mouse ready.
Now that I could read properly, they're supposed to keep perpetually breeding. I propose to you guys, while we're sorting out the cage and the rest of the paraphernalia to make dead mouse heaven, but he will be alive. We're not going to try and kill him. That's very satanic. We will, in the meantime, be looking after the monkeys, which are not called that anymore. They're Aqua Dragons.
Aqua Dragons is a much better name for like water-based things that are... They look more like dragons.
Sure. Don't agree with that at all. Robbie.
These are quite cute, aren't they, Aqua Dragons? Would you say they're the cutest... would you say they're the cutest animal you've ever come across, Jordan?
Or? Absolutely not. And that's a great tie into the next segment, which is, what's the cutest thing you've ever seen? We're taking texts. We probably won't take calls on it because we probably have to. We're assuming a lot of these texts are not going to be that cute. So if you ring up and we're going to have to sit there and feign interest, going, ah, that's, yeah, I suppose dogs are pretty cute.
Yeah, we thought we'd do a nice, happy kind of little thing here because we're usually quite critical and angry, so we thought this could be nice.
Yeah.
So what's a cute thing, you know?
Yeah.
Self-imposed becoming adult, self-imposed therapy. Stay tuned for what we self-impose next. In the meantime, I'm going to start the ball rolling with saying, Robbie, a I think the cutest thing I ever saw was this guy near my house who owns a four-wheel drive, had a box in his front and the passenger seat, and then he goes, "Rocky," and this little chocolate Labrador sleepily pops its head out of the box.
That's quite cute.
You know what? It's cute.
That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Care to keep this party going, guys?
Rolling along.
Robbie, what's the cutest thing you've ever seen?
I don't know, Tom. What's the cutest thing you've ever seen?
I don't know, Robbie.
Somebody say something.
Come on.
Surely.
Look, he's brought in Aqua Dragons. He's brought in an answer for that question. Surely we should bring something,
something
to the
apart
stable.
From I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, true. All right. Well, I guess...
God, we prepped this. You had hours to think about this. I came up with the idea at 9:30.
I was once, I think I saw one of those miniature horses once. They're pretty cute.
Are you kidding me? Is that a...
That's what I call on the spot.
What are they called? Pygmy horses?
Shetland ponies.
Shetland ponies. Shetland ponies.
Oh, yeah. Shetland. Yeah, they're pretty cute.
Yeah, what did you call them again?
A pygmy horse. Yeah. A pygmy horse.
Is that libelous?
I don't think that's libelous.
Okay, and I reckon, I don't know, maybe a little kitten in the rain or something. Little kitten.
That's just sad. You've never even seen that.
He's just sitting in the rain in the middle of the road. He's like, oh, there I am.
That's not cute. That's sad. Yeah. That's a very sad image.
But he's
it's
cute,
it's just
right?
animal abuse. And yeah, on top of that, it's like...
It's an abandoned road.
A drenched cat in drenched. The middle of the road.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. No, but a kitten.
It has to be in the middle of the road to maximise the chance of it being run over.
Yeah. No, it's an abandoned road.
Factor.
It's a line...
An abandoned
line.
Road.
Yeah, so it is abandoned.
So no one's coming for help. It's well, wet and alone.
It's perfectly happy.
This is what prep's for, guys. You're supposed to prepare.
Okay. All right, so if you have a cute thing, what's the cutest thing you've ever seen? On 049-0409-945-945, text in, please.
Yeah, okay, and so we've got a couple here. Let me just give you a few. A bunny trying to creep under my cat's belly for warmth. It was pretty cute.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
I think I agree with that. That is cute. Beep, 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 beep. FBI Radio 94.5. You're listening to Alternative Radio here. Yeah. Who is... what else have people seen that's cute out there in Sydney?
Exactly. And also, I'd like to say that we've got a new rule for texting, and you've got to have a little zany name at the end, okay?
Or so, it will not be read out.
It will not be read out. So, we're talking slam dunks. We're talking scrut.
Scrut.
Any others that we remember?
Yeah, great. There has been, but we can't remember. No.
Anyway, basically, what I'd also... So, we'll go to a song now, but before we do, I'd just like to ask for the next text as well. In what ways would you like to keep Sydney closed? Like, what's your favourite reason for keeping Sydney closed is what I'd like to know from you.
You mean open, right?
You're joking.
Sorry?
You're joking.
Oh, no,
you meant to say keep Sydney open.
No, closed. I'd like to hear your creative ideas as to how to...
As to why we like it closed.
Closed. The number's 0409-945-945. Zany name at the end.
You can't do this on FBI. It's the week of keep Sydney open.
Okay, all right, we'll do it. Just let me play this.
What the hell?
Hello there. You got to tune to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew with Jordan Shanks, Tom Montefiore, and Robbie Armfield on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song Speaking Gently by Bad Bad Not Good from their upcoming album called Four. All right. Before the break, we asked you, what's the cutest thing you've ever seen? People are saying a mouse.
This is how you can tell it's community radio. The squeak of the microphone. Yeah. His head.
The cutest thing I've ever seen was an old couple in the toy shop I work at. They both secretly bought plastic spiders to scare each other with.
Oh.
That or Jordan's forced smile in his girlfriend's Instagram posts.
Did not look at those.
What the hell?
That is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Ah, the combination of that. This guy works at a toy factory and found out who my girlfriend is.
How cute.
Yeah, so, and we also asked...
Good text, keep them coming. Yeah. Keep looking as well. Make sure you like her. She's a blossoming starlet.
Can you read out that other one as well, Robbie, about you and the cutest things you've ever seen?
Okay, all right. So somebody, so they've, this person obviously listens to the podcast that we recently stopped, and they said, "Wet cat equals funny. Murdering a possum with your school pals on camp, Lord of the Flies style, equals fun," in reference to a past story that I said. In reference to, "Kiwis are effed. Robbie is a monster. Your boy Trex 9. Now I just need to clarify a few things here. Right?
First of all, thank you very much for using the nickname system that we're starting now, exactly. Which is that you have to put a stupid name at the end of your text, otherwise we're not going to read it out.
Thank you, Trex 9.
Thank you. Now, I was not involved with the murdering that possum.
You were involved in the murder.
I was
the
in the
possum.
Corner crying, is what was happening.
Yeah, okay. But you observed it. You didn't stop it, did you?
Well,
silent is as bad as doing.
What? Come on.
I think that's a big moment there, when you didn't stop that possum from dying.
What do you want me to... Oh, Matt, I don't know.
All it takes for bad men to succeed is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah, the road to Auschwitz, Robbie.
You aren't.
Yeah, paid in
all right,
indifference.
No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all. But anyway, so...
After reading out that story... No, I'm a good person.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah.
So, all right, sorry, go on.
So basically, this week at FBR Radio, I think it's Keep Sydney Open Week or something like that.
It's like come up with
some
cool,
ideas.
Cool ideas to make this city a better place.
Exactly. And so what?
So 99% of the texts are stop Mike Baird shutting Sydney down.
Exactly. Yeah. So we were asked to give a, you know, film a little thing for a bit of backstory to with our ideas as to how best to keep Sydney open. I said you should have speakers at bus stops.
Yeah, excellent suggestion. So I added Messina.
Completely then, stolen as well. Probably from someone else's suggestion.
I knew it was FBI ready because
it was on brand.
Yeah. It was on brand.
And Tom suggested we trial eugenics.
It was, well, you know, like...
Yeah, just a very...
You know, dangerous ideas.
Dangerous ideas.
Like, yeah, this is all it was it? It was just floating ideas.
Yeah, it's just an idea, you know, like...
Take with it what you will.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom's hoping that you... Take it on board.
But if we can just take things down for a moment here, okay?
Yeah.
Mike Baird, he's saying keep Sydney closed. All right. Now, he's the New South Wales hotshot.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's saying because, you know, for a variety of reasons. So I reckon we should keep Sydney closed. I reckon someone needs to say something.
Okay. So Robbie wants people to text in saying what is the favourite reason that Sydney is currently closed. So it feels as though you're quite for the lockout laws.
Well, I'll give you a bit of backstory. So,
there's been a lot of explaining in this.
So,
yeah,
I used to sort of intermittently wear a neck brace, and I think a lot of people saw that. Not many people knew why. So the reason was I was going to a hot date. Okay, it was about 2 a.m.
Late
like
night date. A 2 a.m. date.
It was very late, but I didn't question it.
Where were you going? Pancakes on the rocks? What's open?
Oh, do you know what? I can't quite remember now, but...
okay, first problem.
It was... Well,
it was a cab.
I'd had a few brews, okay? And but it was near sort of Pokies. I remember that.
Okay, so you were drunk, you forgot the date, and so you had to reschedule it for 2 a.m. in a Pokies.
No, that was just when she wanted to do it.
You were drunk at a Pokies at 2 a.m. and you lined up a date.
So what I do is I go in there, you know, I've had a few brews. I'm looking around... Oh, she's not here. Okay, so I'm just standing there minding my business. I was like, okay, let me just get a drink. I go over. Some madman runs past me and knocks me over. And I fall very awkwardly, sort of hit a chair, or maybe a stool or something on the way down. And what happened was it inflamed a previous injury that I had had in my neck from a child when I was I was trampolining and I fell over. And do you know what I actually did? I was... trying to impress my babysitter at the time, and I was quite young, and I bounced off, flipped through the air, and I landed half inside a rose bush, and that just really threw my neck out hugely. And so the smallest.
God, I wish someone filmed that. That's a $10,000 Australia's Funniest Home Video prize right there.
Yeah, no, it's God. I wish any of that was true.
No. No, it is. But anyway,
and someone filmed it. All I say.
No, look. Me falling on the stool exacerbated an injury that I had had previously, and I think that's exactly the reason why Sydney should be kept closed.
Okay. Is that your favourite reason why Sydney should be kept closed?
And it's such a wussy injury as well, like re-inflaming an old injury.
Yeah.
Has got to be the of of injuries.
And you've had bruise, so you don't even know what time it was necessarily. Well, you don't know where you were.
There's a lot of fun to be had indoors. I don't know why people are getting all up in arms about it. You know, but play your music at about 10 p.m. Play, have all the fun at a reasonable hour.
Head to bed.
Head to bed. What are you doing? Just stop having bruise at 3 a.m. What's this about? It's not the way we're supposed to do things, is it?
I like this segment a lot. Robbie has turned into SpongeBob SquarePants, apparently. The real-life SpongeBob, who had a brief tussle with a re-inflamed injury, might I add, where he became an agoraphobic.
So what do you think about...
Do you claim that you are that?
What?
Agoraphobic.
No, I just think we should keep Sydney close.
Okay, so just have this level-headed...
I just think everybody should understand the benefits... Mm. Of having a quiet life.
So what do you think about like the hospitality industry and that whole thing?
What do you mean?
Like all the people that won't be able to work because of it.
Yeah, the fact that it's shrunk nightlife economy by about a third.
Oh, well...
You think that they can make it up in opening up a bunch of Games Paradise franchises where they can all sell board games?
Yeah, the only thing allowed to be open is LAN cafes.
The argument that I will use is I think that money will be going to other things now. You know, so they will have this money. You know, it's classic trickle-down, boys.
It's true. It's just shifted the nighttime economy into the daytime economy. Yeah,
I completely agree with you, Robbie. I think you're onto something.
Does anybody at all care? Like, it seems like there's very few texts on this subject.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we've got a few texts.
That one was too rude to read out.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's a lot of swear words. There's a lot of swear words.
All right. I think we should just maybe go to a song there.
No, do you know what? I've got a little surprise for everybody here, okay? Hello, are you there on the line? Hello?
Right, now, that's a surprise.
What are you doing here, Robbie? This is...
Hello, Robbie? Mike.
Delivering an anti-climax?
Mike, are you there?
Oh, okay, so he's speaking. He hasn't figured out how to put the phone onto speaker, so Mike, we're hearing Mike, this very Mike. Titty sound coming out of the phone's head.
Mike, are you there?
Mike,
Baird, New South Wales hotshot Mike Baird on the phone. New Boys, South I've done you, okay? So, this...
You are addressing the Premier of New South Wales as the head hotshot.
You didn't even know the word Premier, I don't think, at the time.
Yes, I'm the president of... Yes, I know I'm the president. I'm
sure. Seems legit to me.
Now, Mike, you're a big fan of the casinos and all that jazz. What do you think about keeping Sydney closed?
Oh, mate, look, I couldn't be happier that it's closing down.
I absolutely...
It's a despicable place at night. I'd rather not see... Look, when you're a father, you're a father to maybe 2-3 children.
I think you got 4, just so you know for future reference, Mike Baird.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've got 4. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, I've got 4, and that's a lot harder.
Right.
When you're the president of New South Wales, you are the father to... every man, woman and child in that state. And I will die before I see every child of mine coward punched from here to Cronulla Shores.
Cronulla Shores. All right, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you very much for your extensive knowledge of both what your job is, how many kids you have, and the geography of Sydney. Well done, Mike.
You're a
really
busy
glad
man.
You're premier.
Okay.
You're definitely a busy man. Let's go on to a song.
Tom, what you doing in the Crocodile Crew? FBR Radio. This is the new one. It's called Anxiety by Preoccupations. They used to be called Viet Cong. See you soon.
Do I have time to go to the toilet?
No. So you're with Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song Anxiety. It's from the band Preoccupations. They used to be called Viet Cong, then had to change it because it was offensive. And that was a cool song. So now we're talking about where did music peak? Now, Jordan, you've got a very particular answer to this. Do you want to explain?
But this is firstly the Walk the Plank. So,
oh, right, yeah. Okay.
It's a recurring segment where we just send people on the metaphorical theatre of the mind plank.
Theatre of the mind. Radio of the mind. It's what we do. Now, Jordan, will you walk off the plank?
Only time will tell. And also we want texters this edition to chime in with their...
particular requests of what they where they think music peaked, but we're going to try and get to the bottom of this in roughly 5 minutes, condensing thousands of years of music into that. Yep. And I think it was in 1978, boys.
All right, where when? So give us like a chunk of... It can't be a whole song. It has to just be a bit of a song.
A few bars.
Okay.
Robbie, play them bars.
Jerry Rafferty with his song Baker Street.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely a very
that
memorable
was a
moment.
Few bars.
It's like it is
didn't
kind of
get
hard
it
to
the
tell.
Whole solo, but okay. So it's a short solo too.
Mm.
Oh well. So you know the drill.
So Jordan came at us with this, and Robbie, you were immediately not in. You weren't agreeing with that.
I don't agree, but neither do you, Tom. So you've got another suggestion as to.
Obviously mine's definitely a more peak worthy. Song.
Okay. Would you like me to play it?
Yeah, Rush. Sure.
I just still the genius think... works of whoever that was that was also played in an episode of The Simpsons, and I'm pretty sure that's how anyone our age knows what that song is.
Well, I think it is good. It's up there. I think you just don't think it's there at all. I think it's like number two.
Right. Okay.
But I think
so Tom thinks Baker Street, the song that is frequently played on Smooth FM. In fact, I guarantee if you switch over but don't, they will be playing Baker Street right now. You think it's the second best song of all.
Well, yeah, second best moment when you're talking peak.
Okay, let's be very specific and technical about this. Thank you very much for taking this into the realm of proper discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, no worries. All right, so this is my one.
Very hot for number one. I'd have to say it's definitely in the top 10 for sure.
Come on.
Is it?
Come on.
Nah, boys.
Come on.
Boys.
I'm just going to throw that away. Give Timberlake some love.
Well, because, babe, you didn't take this segment seriously at all. I was really looking for actual songs.
I'm serious.
And you just turned this into Dare We Smile.
I didn't turn it into
Dare
We Smile.
Oh, my God, you have. Which is another segment that
no longer happens anymore because the pod is officially dead.
Yeah, people, a lot of people texting asking, what's the deal with that? What's the deal with that?
So we had a falling out. You could listen to it. I repeatedly yelled at Tom, I hate you, while he was punching me and I was returning punches where I could. He's a better hitter than
Let's not go on about that. Okay, so I think Cry Me a River is a fair choice. I was going to go with an R. Kelly hit, but I think Justin Timberlake took the cake.
No, yeah, he's definitely not top 10 R. Kelly, for sure. Justin Timberlake is.
Boys, it's time to be shown up. Okay, here's my pick. Now,
if you kept playing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit cheeky, that one, because we're not really allowed to play it here. But what I will say is, there we go. We've peaked there.
Who's walking the plank?
I reckon...
I think... Jordan.
This is the... I hate walking off the plank.
Off with your head!
There's no off with my head. I'm walking the plank. You've mixed up two segments.
Walk the plank.
Okay.
In my last words.
Yeah. Too late, I'm dead.
Okay.
The only one that took that remotely seriously out of you two. I'm shocked.
Well, you know, it's how the pirate code works, man. There's no, like, kind of qualifying way of, like, walking the plank. It's majority rules there.
Okay.
Are we pirates here? Is this, like, pirate radio?
I don't know. You look like a pirate today.
Yeah.
So.
Got the sword.
Yeah.
And I suppose, Tom, you do look like a first mate. A parrotless first mate. All you need to do is shake your head. That's it.
I guess so. Okay, well, let's go on to
and
a song.
And I kind of look like Where's Wally, I suppose, but just went back in time to see Silverbeard. I don't think that was a pirate.
Texton, who do you think was the best? Number 0409945945. FBI Radio.
Expecting us to say something.
Since You've Seen Her was the name of that track. It's by Black Moth Super Rainbow. It was from their sort of most recent release. It was kind of a small album called Sifu Lilac. You're with your boys, Tom Montedudu, on the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. We've got a text here. The number's 0409945945 if you want to get in touch. They said Tay-Tay was easily the best. Pete from Melbourne. Now, that's not a funny name, but I will say it because I agree with you. I think that was the best. That was the peak of music, and we've got that now.
So that strong set of rules that we all agreed to before we went on air lasted, oh, 3 seconds?
Just because he liked your choice, Robbie.
Yes. Now, Tom.
Excellent work, Pete.
All right, so this is I don't know what that was for, but
keep it going. It's not it.
No, I just typed in scary music and that didn't feel very scary to me, that one. But yeah, so this is
no, but it reminds me of one of those anime video games that you got on PlayStation 1 that was remotely to do with ghosts. So crank it, Robbie.
All right, do you want to play it, Robbie?
He's not cranking it.
No, I've got...
All right, so...
I've got a different one.
I was in the city on the weekend and I saw a ghost tour taking place in the rocks. Have you ever been on a ghost tour?
You know I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
I didn't know you hadn't.
Yes, you have. We've had this conversation before.
Have you been on a ghost tour, Robbie?
No, no way. No.
So, yeah, Mike, what I was thinking was... So, I've been on a lot of ghost tours. I've been on one in Scotland. I've been on them in Tasmania. I've been in Sydney. Like, I love ghost tours. And what I was thinking is, how long... So, when events happen, when something like someone is killed in a house, like these stories that they tell at ghost tours are always something that's quite a horrific story or very mundane and quite boring, but it always happened a really long time ago, and there seems to be a transition point where it's no longer scary or sad or whatever, and it becomes... like spooky. So the question is, like, when does stuff become spooky? So for instance, when I was in Port Arthur, I did the ghost tour there, and they take you all around the, like, the convict place and show you, like, oh, and here's where someone, like, fell off a wall, and now, like, you can hear them, like, working on the wall at nighttime sometimes, and everyone's like spooked out by that. And then at the end, they take you to the cafeteria where a mass shooting took place and, like, a lot of people died. And they just... they don't do any stories there because not enough time has passed for it to be spooky. Like, it'd be insensitive for them to be like, and they still hear the people.
Well, it's a cafeteria as well, right?
Well, yeah, but a mass shooting, like, the biggest mass shooting in Australia's history took place there, and much more horrific things happened there.
In the cafeteria?
Yeah.
Where they've just...
at Port Arthur, where they also happened to do ghost tours. But if they added that to the ghost tour, it would be so inappropriate. So,
what
like,
do they say when they get there? We both have Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah, what's that? Like, you hear... they tell... like, the way they balance it is very odd. But, yeah, like, could you imagine... instead of, like, the 9/11 disaster site, how bad would that be to do a ghost tour there? But, like, how long does it have to be? Like, 100 years?
Yeah, Robbie, as a meme spurt, you probably do know when it's okay to do a ghost tour.
When do things become spooky? What's the length?
Saying this?
Yeah, I don't know about this. Maybe...
you
know,
it is a valid point. Let's move away from World Trade Center talk, and let's focus on the spookiness.
Say, like, someone was murdered in their house and it was mysterious. If it happened 10 years ago, would it be long enough ago for it to now be spooky and ghost tour worthy? Or does it have to be from the 1800s?
No, 10 years ago is 2006. Yeah. So Fresh was still selling hard.
Yeah.
It's not enough time.
Yeah. I reckon it... yeah, I think it has to be like... if it's before 1950, it's all right.
Ooh, that's the year. 1970 sounds pretty good to me. 1980s, yeah. I reckon.
Like, could you have hippie-related ghost stories? Could you imagine, like, going to... they do a ghost story at, like, Woodstock or something?
If it's got something to do with the baby, yes.
Oh, okay. Tom, now we've got a text here. Brace yourself, okay? Oh, the number, again, if you want to send more of these...
spooky texts.
040-99-45-945. What he said was...
but in this segment, it's... ooh, 4, 5. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. Okay. Now, it says, wow, Tom, ultimate skeptic, science man. Do you just go to ghost tours to feel superior? Pope, and the name, loving this, Pope Benny Wrecked.
No, yeah, I just stand at the back with my arms crossed, just like shaking my head at it. Yep. No, yeah, the worst one I ever went on.
So the answer is yes.
The answer, yes. So yes. No, when I was younger, I was more into it.
Unequivocal yes.
I remember, well, it's because they always ruin it, because at the end, they do some really, like, cheap gag where you'll go to the very last part and there will be, like, a body, like, the quarantine center, they do this where...
you do the whole tour, and it's quite a scary experience, I guess. There was someone in my tour that was carrying a lantern everywhere, like, we all had lanterns, and at every room we went into, he'd walk to the corner of the room, put the lantern down, and then just, like, stand in the corner of the room. Like, and I knew he was just, like, messing with everyone, because his friend was, like, giggling the whole time. But, like, he was trying so hard to freak everyone out. But, yeah, at the very end of it, they'll take you into this kind of the room where they look at the bodies once they die, like this big concrete slab, and they have a volunteer from the tour group beforehand that stays behind, and they, like, lie as still as they can, and then the story gets told in the very end. He just, like, will jump up and go, like, argh! And it just, like, cheapens the entire thing. So, I reckon there could be a good reason why I think ghosts are dumb.
Good point. I'd still be scared by that, though, Robbie. Come on. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But on top of that, Tom, do you think that... I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, in the quarantine station, they have, like, a backup plan where the dude that's waiting there to, like, jump up and scare you, if it doesn't go well and no one's scared at all because they can see the guy breathing or something like that, and you know it's just a person just sitting there, then they tell you the story how they're like, even this, like, when he was waiting for the next tour group to come in, once... we came in and he was, like, frozen to the concrete thing and he couldn't move because a ghost was holding him down.
So, is this your someone needs to say something, don't go to these things?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So, you
avoid the quarantine station, I can say that.
Stay in earlier, keep Sydney closed and don't go to the horror shows.
Yeah, ghost tours are just a waste of time.
Would you prefer to be a ghost as an atheist? One of the ghosts that's trapped in one of those tours holding the guy down? Or would you prefer to just die and decompose?
Probably die.
Oh, God. I like the idea of being the ghost.
Or just holding some dude down and freaking him out every second tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
At least you've got a use, right?
Well, you're basically just alive, right? You're just invisible.
Pretty much. You probably make friends with the tour guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe your friend that he was... giggling to was actually just a dead guy.
Yeah,
and you actually do see dead people.
Yeah,
and that's the only reason why it's not scary to you, because you've seen much, much scarier things.
Spooky track now. FBI Radio. Hello. You've got to tune to FBI Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song Vulturus Pelicanus. It's from a band called Coral Cross. A little bit of spooky kind of... I don't know, metal drums and sort of choir stuff. It was pretty interesting. That's by a guy called George Albrecht, who's collaborated with Ariel Pink and, you know, he had a brand Violins and stuff like that. So that's pretty interesting. Anyway, you're with Jordan Chanks, Tomato Fury, and Robbie Armfield. Now we're going to be talking about this ration challenge.
So you're starving.
So I'm starving at the moment. I'm doing the Act for Peace ration challenge. It's to raise money for Syrian refugees.
How much have you raised?
What is it? Oh, jeez, Louise.
Like a thousand?
It was 1,075 at the moment. So if you'd like to donate to me, you can just probably Google my name, Robbie Armfield, Act for Peace. I'd just like to shout out some people now if I can. In no particular... Right. Well, just for the donators. Like, it's really good, you know.
Really quick.
Okay. Luke James, Cameron McCormack, Benjamin Zeri, Matt Tarrant, Stephen Craig, Michaela Harris, Ben Danach, Sandy McCoy, Caspian Basker, Max.
Thank you very much.
I also donated $20. Tom Montefiore.
No, that's actually... No, because there are a couple of anonymous people here that I am hugely appreciative of.
But apparently not of Tom.
Well...
You don't care about his
$20, I don't know if...
Do
he's anonymous.
$20.
I don't know if you did it.
Yeah, you do. I told you the message I wrote to you.
Oh, it's unconfirmed.
I showed you the receipt. Anyway.
So, look, basically, I'm doing this. It's really difficult. And
you've been doing it for a day.
So, when did you start?
Because half of the 40-hour famine, and you've been eating.
So, he arrived at the house that we live in together last night, and he's like, so I'm going to start the challenge. And he's like, oh, what? Like, because he hadn't been eating all day. And he's like, oh, I could have been eating today, like, started the challenge. And I was like, oh, so you haven't eaten today? And he's like, oh, no, I haven't. And I was like, you're lying. You definitely have. And he's like, oh, well, I had
I had some chicken.
Well, I was at another house that didn't have, I didn't have the ration box with me there. Okay, so
that's not a good enough excuse.
No, but I got an email from the team saying like, well, don't you raise so much. Now here's some recipes for what to do with your box. And somebody was saying like, all right, you can do like a little lentil soup, and if you'd like, you can add some chicken to that. And that was a quote from somebody that was doing it, and it was like approved by the organisation. They sent it to me in an email.
But that includes full of spelling mistakes, firstly.
Yeah, but they wouldn't send it if they didn't agree with it, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't have much at all. I honestly had like one forkful.
But you didn't make the lentil soup. You just saw like, oh, you added some chicken. That means I can just have chicken.
I didn't have any lentils.
Tom sponsored you for nothing.
No,
I want my $20 back.
No, I have not. That's the only thing I've eaten. I promise you. Is that? And now
but you weren't allowed to eat it. I swear you weren't.
Like, I am. Just, I've got the email. I've shown you the email.
Okay. So, if you eat it though, that would probably count as the $5.
No,
it's item
not.
That you're allowed to buy.
No, it's not.
Oh yeah, why not? How much chicken can you have then?
I didn't stipulate, so that's why.
So
I had
this
very
is the ration
amount.
Challenge. You have the exact rations as a Syrian refugee plus all the chicken you like.
No.
Yeah, surely
no.
That's
no, within reason. So I read it within reason. You know, I'm having one forkful. Guys,
surely though, there's not. It just doesn't
the
say within
day.
Reason. There has to be very strict rules about what you're allowed to have. Like, you've been given a box. Like, all you can have is everything that is in this box.
Okay, guys. Well, guess what? Let's do a little bit of Très Bien on the radio. Okay, now this is an absolutely trailblazing segment of audio entertainment.
Right.
That
is 2 years old now.
That I have
still just as fresh, apparently.
I have spearheaded it, now bringing it to more people. Okay, so what you do is you combine two ingredients together that shouldn't really be together, and you see what they're like. Mm. Now, boys, I've got here for you.
Oh. So many surprises today.
Some lentils and chickpeas together. Oh.
That he has not cooked. These are raw lentils and chickpeas. I'm pretty sure if you fed this to a bird, the bird would die.
Now, boys, can you please tell me...
Can you eat it?
Yes, you can eat it. This is what they survive on.
They cook it.
Surely. No, I'm sure if they can't, they would eat it like this.
No way would they.
This
eat
is supporting people. I don't want to trivialise their plight at all. This is supporting.
You can't
thing.
Eat the chickpeas.
I don't think you can.
I'm
going
to have to give this a negative review. I must say,
what?
Raw lentils and raw chickpeas is not a good mix.
I mean,
don't
like
try
physically,
it.
You can't eat it. I'm trying to chew it. You can't eat it. I'm not swallowing this. Anyway,
well,
thanks
no,
for the
you
segment.
You have to swallow it, Tom.
How? It's like a large.
You just
pill.
Take it like a Panadol. Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, yeah. Look, anyway, that was Très Bien. Très Bien. On the radio.
So have you? So it's just the food. It's the first day, and he also has this $5 bonus thing he's allowed to do. So he asked Jordan and I if he could buy a Vietnamese roll today,
and we're like, and his hope is much like when Homer Simpson tried to eat the biggest sub in the world, to nibble at it throughout the week until it becomes progressively more and more unedible. So his goal is to not only not eat for the rest of the week, but become very, very ill
from a rotten Vietnamese roll.
Well, I don't know. I think that's within reason for me to perhaps get that, but I might.
Yeah, because you got over 1,000, so you get a little bonus.
Yeah, I get a little bonus. But I was also thinking, like, does it extend to me? You know, like if I was a refugee in the surrounds in which I am now, right? I would, you know, I would have whatever's in the fridge. I would, you know, like it seems. You know what I mean?
He thinks he can just. He thinks he's meant to act like a refugee throughout this whole week, is what he's saying.
Well, it's like half-half, right? You eat what they have, but then you also act like they.
No, you just do the food.
I'm pretty sure
they're intelligent people that would, you know.
If they had means.
Okay, but
to
if
it.
You're going
to
act like a refugee, you have to speak Syrian the entire time.
I don't know a word.
Exactly.
So you can't say a word.
So how does this logic unfold? That just because there's a fridge there, Syrians would eat that.
All right. If you don't speak and you only speak Syrian whenever you speak for the rest of the week, you can eat whatever you want. I reckon
really?
That's fine. I reckon you're
a yeah, you have to use
fine.
A Google Translator for the next segment.
Somebody's texted in saying, are you allowed to find other people on the ration challenge and steal it from them? Hunger Games it up while highlighting the serious conditions in the camps.
That's it does actually
text.
Happen. It does happen.
Edgy Teen Lord was that person. So thanks for texting in. I agree. I think, you know, let's jazz it up a bit. You know, we're...
Well, I think, Robbie, you're doing a great job on the ration challenge, but, well, you did a great job in raising the money. I don't think you're yes. doing a great job at all on the ration challenge, but we'll see.
And your additions are very concerning.
Now, Tom, You went to you had a little bit of a dinner recently with one of our good friends who's doing quite a bit of a he's going on quite a trek actually very soon I think tomorrow today maybe tomorrow
yeah,
tell us about that.
Oh yeah, right, okay, so like we were in the city and we were walking past, do you know people that like, I never have this thought in my head, but when you're walking past a 7-Eleven, do you ever think, oh, we should go in and get some snacks? Are you one of those kinds of people that thinks of the slushies?
No, I'm not a skater.
Yeah, it feels like it's only like, yeah, there's a very specific type of person that loves 7-Elevens. He's one of
absolutely.
Them.
And North Shore?
Yep.
Why do they love 7-Elevens?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Can somebody text that in? I've always been wanting to know this. Why are guys from the North Shore so into not being able to skate, but always having a skateboard with them? 7-Elevens and Doritos.
Mm.
Especially Doritos with guarana.
I love Doritos.
But do it quickly, because we've got to wrap this up soon. But
sorry, yeah. So we're walking towards the 7-Eleven. Out of nowhere, he grabs his phone and holds it like this, where he's got a fist, and then puts the phone, wedges it between his hand as though it's like it's a gun. And then he goes to me, he's like, get this, you ready? And he's got his back to the 7-Eleven, and he holds the gun phone up to me, and he goes, 3, 2, 1, and then, like, flings around into the 7-Eleven as though he's going to rob the store. Like, joking around, but in the act of joking, he's doing the crime. Like, that is, like, armed robbery.
Does that count?
Like, whether it's a real gun or not, it is armed robbery, I'm pretty sure.
So it's attempted armed robbery.
Yeah, he just does it. And the guy behind the counter, like, looked very shocked until I, like, diffused it by just kind of, like, laughing it off. But he was, like, he was very close, I reckon, to getting in, like, a lot of trouble for that. But, yeah, I couldn't handle it.
Why did he do it?
Yeah, is this guy normally, like, heaps crazy like that? That's just Tomo.
Not really. Like, he's quite a switch. Like, the other thing he was doing the whole night, we're at a restaurant, and he was on the phone the whole time because he's got this new strategy about gambling on bet365.com, and he thinks he's got this, like, fail-proof system to win all bets.
Just like everyone in Vegas does. I've always got a system.
So he was on the phone the entire time, to the point that he got earphones out and just had earphones in for the whole dinner on the phone, just waiting for, like, so he could get his guy to, like, sell at the very right moment, like, to, like, double up the bet. So, like, he was just on his headphones the entire night and then just tried to rob a 7-Eleven.
Insane. Did it work? Did the sports bet theory work?
I think he might have. Maybe. I don't know. He claims he's won a lot of money off it. So, if anyone wants any info on that.
Risk-free. It's risk-free.
But gambling is a problem. So, you know, responsibly do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we and by responsibly, mortgage your house, but think about it.
Yeah, do it right.
Okay, so we've got a couple of texts here. Somebody saying, quite rightly, Syrians speak Arabic, not Syrian. Come on, guys, a bit of intelligence, please.
Yes.
Thank you for getting in touch.
That's great.
Very good.
Thank you very much. That is a lot like how we always laugh at Americans for saying that Mexicans speak Mexican.
Yeah.
We did exactly the same thing.
And in reference to your question, Jordan, why do North Shore boys love going to 7-Eleven? They said, it's the same reason and a lot of high school kids carry around a shit guitar they can hardly play. False sense of cred from the Can Can.
How is going to 7-Eleven cred?
Yeah.
Well, they look like a skater. That's why.
What's cool about you that do place? Everything. It's overpriced Smith chips and Migarang noodles that cost $3.99.
It's just if you do everything around a subculture besides the actual thing, like a surfy. You just like have blonde hair, go to the beach a lot, but never actually surf. Are you still a surfy?
Yeah. Okay, makes a lot of sense. So, really, the song that would sum them up is, if they were a nation of people, the national anthem would be Avril Lavigne's He Was a Skater Boy.
Okay.
Not really maybe. A skater, looks the part.
Yeah, no, Avril Lavigne would be... Yeah. Anyway,
Bobby's telling us we have to go.
Yeah, no. Now, to wrap things up, we've got a fun text here. It says, my mobile speaks Siri, Anne. Okay.
So, the previous text was actually incorrect. Factually.
All right, you've been with...
Shows you.
All right, so look forward to now Stephen Goodhue with his playlist. Always got the best tunes. Please stick around. You're on FBI Radio. We've been with Jordan Shanks.
Yes, you have.
Tom Montefiore.
Bye.
And hello, I'm Robbie Armfield. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And if you'd like to donate, Google my name and ActPeace Ration Challenge. Let's help the Syrian refugees. Okay.
You should have said goodbye, but...
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying goodbye now. Now, this is the song Stranger to
Hello,
Stranger...
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah. Stranger to Stranger by Paul Simon from his new album of the same name. Okay, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.